Our next presentation is entitled Revisiting Waste, and the speaker that we have for that topic is very knowledgeable on the topic, which is a very hot topic now, as we all know. His name is Michael Rear. He is with the law firm of Harris, Finley, and Bogle in Fort Worth. He has truly a nationwide practice. He's licensed in 10 different states, does a bunch of oil and gas, high stakes, complex litigation involving all sorts of oil and gas issues. He also does a bunch of agency work, federal and state agency work. Interestingly, he has drafted and filed comments on behalf of trade associations on issues important to unconventional development and has defended operators against alleged violations of state, federal environmental protection laws and a bunch of other agency work. He got his master's in oil and gas from the University of Houston, and we're very lucky to have him this morning, Mr. Michael Rear.
Good morning. Thank you for the introduction, and thank you guys for having me here to speak. This is always, you know, one of my favorite places to come and one of my favorite conferences to go to, and learning so much about oil and gas law over the years, not only from Jackie Weaver at UH, but from the people who are putting on this presentation together has been incredible. So it's always a real honor to be asked to come in and speak a little bit about some of the work that we're doing. So today, like we said, we're talking about waste. Okay, so waste is what happens and what we call it when there are oil and gas reserves in the ground that can be economically produced, and then something happens and then those reserves can't be produced anymore. And in the context of waste, especially with respect to wastewater injection, what's happening is that those oil and gas reserves are being moved out of the pore space, out of the hydrocarbon trap, into an area in which they can't be economically produced. So we're going to talk all about that today. We're going to talk about how waste happens. We're going to talk about what remedies are available to producers in the event of waste. We're going to talk about affirmative defenses that are available to wastewater injectors. We're going to talk about how to calculate damages, and I think we're going to talk about some jurisdictional issues. We're going to totally nerd out about waste today. And then I think at the end, I think I did crack the code. I usually go a little bit over or prepare too much material. I think I cracked the code this time, and we'll be right on time and have some time for questions at the end. All right, so let's start with what's kind of going on in the field, okay, to give some perspective. When oil and gas is produced, it's typically produced not just as oil and gas, but as three fluids or three things together, right? You've got the oil, you've got the gas, and you've got the wastewater. And generally speaking, from basin to basin, how much wastewater is produced with your oil is going to vary. But in the Permian Basin, you could be looking at a water cut of 3 barrels of water for 1 barrel of oil, or even higher. Okay, so I think that comes out to 3.8 billion barrels out of the Permian of wastewater. And what happens is those three things, the oil, the gas, and the wastewater, it goes through, it's fed through a separator where it's all separated out, as the name of the separator would imply. And then the wastewater needs to be disposed of, the oil and the gas, they get brought to market. In different areas of the country, there's different preferences for how wastewater is handled. If you go up to Appalachia, for example, if you go up to Pennsylvania, there's maybe 10 injection wells in the entire state. But by far in Texas, the preferred method of handling the wastewater is reinjection into the ground. So we put the wastewater back into the ground from which it came. The complex thing, especially in terms of waste, is where to put that water. All right. So if you're producing from a zone with significant porosity, significant permeability, you can oftentimes put that water back into the zone from which you're producing. So you're not adding any pressure to the zone when you do that. You're taking oil and water out, and you're just returning the water back into the same zone from which it came. And so an example of a zone like that would be highlighted in the yellow, the Delaware Mountain Group out in the Permian, which is comprised of the Bell Canyon, the Cherry Canyon, and the Brushy Canyon. And those are zones which you might often find, for example, conventional vertical wells with the pump jacks. Conversely, if you're going to use hydraulic fracturing, if you're doing shale development out of the Wolf Camp, those zones are not going to accept the wastewater back. So if you're going to dispose of that wastewater, you have to find yourself a different zone in which to put the wastewater.